Thank you for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to be joined by one of the greatest Oakland A's, part of the Bash Brothers era, World Series champ. It's Carney Lansford. And Carney, welcome to the show. And of course, Carney hits second behind Ricky. So he took a lot of pitches because Ricky was stealing a lot of bases. But Carney, this weekend, just a hammer blow. I mean, it's one thing to think about Willie Mays passing away. It's very sad, but he was in his 90s and old. I don't think anybody saw this coming. What was your first reaction, if you could share with us?
Well, I actually got a call Friday night from Dave Stewart, and that's never a good thing because he usually calls in the afternoon if he calls. And the last time he called, it was when Dave Henderson had passed. So I knew when I saw his name on the phone, okay, this probably is not going to be real good. But when he said that Ricky was gone, I was in total shock. This is total disbelief. The man was in such great condition. And I had not heard that he had been sick or anything at all. So both my wife and I were just devastated by that.
You know, I mentioned hitting behind him. When you got traded over, and it's not very often a guy who wins the batting title gets traded, but they had Wade Boggs, so they were able to get Tony Armas. And you went to that A's team that wasn't very good, and so you were one of the key pieces as it began to build and build. When I say we as an A's fan, got Ricky at the trade deadline in 89, just bringing that swagger at that point. I remember the next year you had the complacency sucks T-shirts, but just what did Ricky add beyond what we all saw?
You know, I think we knew in 88 that we were missing that one piece, and that was a really good leadoff hitter. In fact, we were so desperate for a leadoff hitter that Tony had me leading off for quite a bit of the season to start the season. So it was pretty clear that we were missing that one piece. So I just remember in 89 we were playing in, it was Kansas City, and we lost a tough day game. And Tony, I remember Tony coming in and saying to me, hey, you guys are really battling. Just hang in there. We got something in the works that I think is going to really help us. So I think it was the next day that they mentioned that he had traded for Ricky Henderson. And, you know, not to just get a good leadoff hitter, but the greatest leadoff hitter in the history of the game. And in my opinion, personal opinion, the greatest baseball player in the history of the game. To get him just put us over the top.
I think a lot of people at the time, because you're right, they had Luis Polonia, and then you were batting leadoff. Best team in baseball in 88, you know, losing to the Dodgers in five, and what Ricky was able to do to push over the top was amazing. But I think a lot of people, too, thought that Ricky was a me guy and that acquiring him would ruin everything. And all you guys did was just love the guy. He was not a me guy, was he?
No, he wasn't. He's such a great player. He knew it, and we all knew it. Now, the nice thing, when he came back to us in 89, he locked it right next to me. And so we got to have conversations every day in the clubhouse there. And, you know, I think the biggest thing about Ricky is he was such an underrated left fielder. Everybody talked about the steals, the run scored, the walk, all this stuff. But he was a gold glove caliber outfielder. I thought he should have won the Gold Glove every year.
Absolutely. Had that great snatch catch. And not just sitting next to each other and batting 1-2 in one of the, you know, in a dynastic team, but, you know, he's an East Bay guy. You're a South Bay guy as well. And when you got traded to the A's, you probably thought, oh, geez, they're not very good. But was it kind of nice to come home?
Yeah, it was really nice. It was tough to play at home. To start off with, I mean, you have all your friends and family, you know, the people you went to high school. I never went to college. I just got signed out of high school. So now you're playing on TV. They're seeing all your games. So, you know, it's tough to do that. Ricky was phenomenal. He was such a great player that I don't think you ever worried about anything like that. But it took me a little while, a couple months, I think, when I first got there, just to block that stuff out and just focus on playing the game. So, for Ricky to do what he did in front of, you know, in the Bay Area there, in front of his family and friends, was amazing.
I remember when Angels in the outfield. You were the big scary hitter for the White Sox. I wonder if there was some like Hollywood producer that called you and asked you, do you know where the Oakland Coliseum is? Can you get there?
Yeah, actually, I got a call from Irby Smith, who was a producer, I think, for that movie, and he had me fly down to Southern California and interview him, just talk to him about it or whatever, and pretty much just hired me on the spot there. But, you know, then I do all these things for that movie, to get that tryouts and go and people work with the actors and all that. That was a lot of work.
And also, I remember spending time with Trevor Cahill when I was doing the pre- and post-game show, and Brett Anderson would make fun of him because he was such a Star Wars nerd. So I'll ask you, Carney, who's a bigger Star Wars fan, was it you or Trevor Cahill?
It would got to be him. I don't know if I ever saw a Star Wars movie. I don't think, you know, I think when the first one came out, I think I might have been playing for the Angels. And my wife and I actually had tickets to go to the movie, but it was such a long line. We ended up giving them away to somebody, and we never did see the movie. So I don't know. I know Dwayne Murphy was a huge, what's the other one that was the Star Trek?
Yeah.
He was a huge Star Trek fan. So.
I remember Dwayne Murphy getting kissed on the forehead when Ricky broke one of the stolen base records, but he never kissed you on the forehead for batting second and taking a lot of pitches, did he?
No. That's one thing he never did. It was we're an talking honor with, to get behind him, though, let me tell you. It was an honor.
Yeah. We're speaking with Carney Lansford, of course, who's done a lot of TV work out here. He was a hitting coach for the Giants as well for a couple of years, and it just leads me to the next thing, and that is going to Sacramento, a city that they won't even say the name of it for 3 years, and it's, you know, heartbreaking is too mild of a word to say what's going on with A's fans, and then you throw in the Ricky thing. It's just a hammer blow. But what are your thoughts about 3 years in Sac before going to Vegas?
No, honestly, I just don't know how that's going to work. How it's going to work out, but I can't even imagine being a home team player and playing half your games there, much less coming in, you know, as a visiting team and playing in a minor league stadium. So I just don't know how that's going to work, but I guess they have no other option, so got to do it.
Well,
I don't think I would be very happy about that myself.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. And for you, all the years at the Coliseum, I mean, they went to 6 World Series there. They won 4 of them. They drew 3 million fans when the team was doing well. And to hear everyone else say, well, you know, we can't play here, it's pretty ludicrous. When you think of the Coliseum, what are some of the memories that pop into your head, Carney?
Well, you know, growing up in the South Bay, you know, like I said, I was a huge A's fan and a Giants fan at that time, too. But, you know, to go to those games and sit in the bleachers out in left field and watch, you know, my idols play, Sal Bando, Joe Rudy, Campy, you know, Vida Blue, Catfish, all those guys, just, you know, to get to go there and watch those games is such a treat for me because, like, you know, they won the 3, you know, back-to-back-to-back World Series.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did that. You know, the next year, I think it was 75, I was a senior in high school, and our center fielder at the time said, hey, you want to go to the A's game tonight? It was like opening night for them. I'm like, can't go to the A's game because it's won 3 straight World Series. You can't get a ticket. He goes, it says ticket just about any seat you want there. And sure enough, we went there. And when I played for El Paso when I was with the Angels, we outdrew the A's a number of times. It was just ridiculous. But still, I love watching them. They were great. Still love them today.
I remember there was some playoff series 1 year, but I remember they showed the film of you introducing yourself at the Little League World Series, and to hear you go, Carney Lansford, San Jose. I was like, whoa. But yeah, how cool is it that you played in both World Series?
It was great. Unfortunately for me, it was right when my voice was changing. So, it was great. I enjoyed it. We had a great time. But back then, it was you lose one game, you're out. It wasn't that, you know, double elimination thing.
Yeah.
So we had to win every single game to get there. And we had a blast. Of course, I didn't realize what we really, you know, had accomplished until I was about 14 or 15 years old, a couple years later. So to you know, playing a World Series and winning one at the major league level is just incredible.
And, you know, Jose coming back into the fold the last few years, and you know, Dave Stewart I thought was very poignant. You know, after Jose wrote his book, and then Dave said, if Jose is asking for forgiveness, who am I to say no? And McGuire said he's open to maybe being friends again. Does that make you feel a lot better now if you have a reunion and there's no bad blood going on like it used to be?
Yeah, you know, we saw each other at a reunion a few years ago. And it might have been our 25th or something like that. And when I walked into the room that we were in, he was doing an interview on TV. He looked at me. I could see the look, by that look, that he wanted to talk to me. So as soon as the interview was over, he came over, and the first thing out of his mouth was, "I know, writing that book is the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life, my biggest regret." And I said, "Look, man, you know, you knew it was an unwritten rule not to do something like that, but hey, who am I to judge? You know, I mean, I didn't like the fact that he did it, but what are you going to do? The guy was a major part of our team. He's the reason we won that World Series. So, you know, we got things patched up there, and it's been great ever since."
Well, you know, as I said, those Bash Brother years, I was in college, and it just, you know, those were such great years, and you were such a solid veteran part of that lineup, at the top of the order, playing the hot corner as well. I used to love it how you would kind of sidearm the easy ones, and then when you wound up and threw it by your ear, that's when you really had to heat it, right?
Exactly. You know where I got that from, the sidearm thing? When I first came up to the big leagues with the Angels, Lance Mullinix was our shortstop. Mm. And I used to watch him throw the ball, and he always, you know, he never threw it away. He just threw it nice and easy, kind of sidearm like that. So I said, let me just experiment with this a little. And I really kind of liked it, you know, throwing it from there. But like you said, a ball hit down the line or something, I had to get it quick. It was over the top. I had no means.
One of the greatest batting stance ever, too. I could talk to him all day. Carney Lansford, thank you so much for your thoughts about Ricky and everything else, and hopefully we'll catch up soon.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me on your show, and happy holidays.